Welcome back in. We're just plotting and scheming back here, folks. We're trying to get you to the woo. August 1st, 8 p.m., Stir Concert Cove. What could go wrong?
You know what? Let's announce the first part of what they have to do.
Okay.
In like the 1 o'clock hour.
It's going to be a two-part deal. You got to get one part in to qualify for the second part.
Yes.
Okay. We got to test your loyalty. You don't just hand out Wu-Tang tickets to anybody. We want the real ones. We want the reels. 1 o'clock, top of the hour. We're going to tell you how this concert is going to go. Okay? Or concert, jeez. We're going to tell you how this contest is going to go. And then with George's ultimate wisdom, here's what we're going to do for one or five Wu-Tang fans, each getting a pair of tickets. We're going to give away all five tomorrow. All five tickets will be out in your possession, if you so choose, tomorrow. So, pay attention to that at 1 o'clock. If you got friends that like to woo, have them hit us up. Okay? Start listening to the show. We're going to give the rules to the show or to the contest at 1 o'clock. Wu-Tang tickets, five pairs, given away on Friday, July 12th. Okay? Five pairs of tickets given away July 12th. On game time, rules will go down at 1 o'clock, right? John is here on the old JTAC Construction on Twitter feed. Verse, was there a student in Lincoln who didn't have a pair of the Spigot's fine glassware in their kitchen cabinet? The answer to that is no. Is no. And then coming out of the, what I'm going to call the Yahoo Bank Zone inbox, verse text messages from the distinguished owner of the Brass Rail, Mr. Tommy Mossbuck, says the Brass Rail established 1935, UNL's longest running tradition. Amen there, my brother. Thank you for listening, and thank you for the employment when I needed a job. We got back from Chicago and had zero Dolores. oh, man. I'm an idiot, but, man, it was fun being that idiot. As we start to dig down into deep into this and we start to really look at Nebraska football and the season's up, and I kind of went on and made a little soapbox and said, I'm tired of the speculation. I want all this stuff. The excitement that I've had for this, it can't be matched. It's tough to be matched, right? I did an interview. I don't even know who I can mention, but the guy's name was Chris Schmidt, if you want to hop out there on the interweb and find it. But he asked me a question I'd never been asked before. And I'm kind of shocked I've never been asked this question, at least on air. A simple question. And he said, does it bother you the way the offensive lines have played in the past? And it's such a tough question because I know it's not for lack of effort from the kids. As much as I complain about it and as much as I think there's been some missed opportunity, at the end of the day, a football player, a basketball player, a softball player, soccer player, volleyball player, by the way, leave Ron Revell alone. Who's ever complaining about whatever, stop. That's another, we'll take another segment up with that one. But I don't ever fault the kid in it. And maybe I should. I have questions sometimes about their drive or desire to be the best. But that's all to me due to leadership. It's that great line in Remember the Titans. Attitude reflect leadership, Captain. But it did. It was like a gut wrenching feeling because he said it. And you guys know me a long time. I don't pause much. He had me paused. I was like, yeah, it did. And it isn't that they were not good or up to level or winning natties or winning conference championships. It's that experience. That experience in that window is such a finite experience. That was more disappointed than the administration. They had let them down, and they didn't get the chance to. Be the best they could be. Now, I'm not saying the coaches were in there or administration were in there sabotaging anything. They did what they thought was the best they could do, but the guys who were in position of power positions, if you look at that and nothing changed or nothing moved, nothing got better, even little thing, that was the tough part for me. Because they were that experience, maybe my experience would have been different, right? Maybe my experience would have been different if we'd only gone 10-2 or, 10-3, whatever it was. I was very fortunate to be there when the time it was, but it was, I love, one of my favorite things, I talk with guys from the 70s and 80s. I love talking to them. But they'll tell you, hey, it was great. We did this. We knew we got better all the time. Didn't always win. Some things didn't go our way. Some guys, you know, but very rarely do they say, hey, we were out coached. And that was a thing that like happened a lot. And I don't necessarily, sometimes I agree with it. Sometimes I didn't. But as a member of Nebraska's offensive line, and like I said to Sip, I had the best seat in the house. Lifelong backup. Still weaseled my way onto the cover, Husker Illustrated. What's up? But so to get the chance to watch those guys work every day and watch them do what they had to do, I didn't realize how much it bugged me because it is part of me. It's part of what I take pride in. I'm super fortunate to get the chance to have great offensive line coaches. Eras sometimes look at you and say, man, you are lucky. Like you are just the luckiest person. Grand Island Senior High School, Brian Mabee was our offensive line coach. Now, this will be harder for you to believe. He didn't cuss at all. Big term was shoot. He let out a frick every now and then. But he helped me understand the love of technique, right? He played offensive line at University of Nebraska Kearney. He may be 5'10". Coach, maybe if you're listening, let me know. He may be 5'10", probably 180 pounds. But the guy was a technician, right? So he made me love and learn that. Then I got to Nebraska and got to work with Milt Tenper and Dan Young. You serious? Two of the best in the game. Before it was cool to be the best in the game, be an offensive line coach. But then again, you're back to it. Technique, position, hand position, all these little things, right, that all kind of add up. And I know we caught lightning in a bottle. 100% comprehend that. But, man, it's great to talk about it. And I know it's the past. Fan of other fan base. I get it. But that's why like you respect so much what they do at Iowa. You respect so much what they do at Wisconsin. You respect what Ohio State does. I want those Nebraska kids to have that opportunity, have that chance. That's what probably I don't have any interaction with Coach Austin. If he wants to come up, have beer and pizza, I'm in. I'll sit down and talk O-line all day. Some of you poor folks come into Paisans. I've suckered you into that. You ask me a simple question. 20 minutes later, I'm sitting at your table still talking about it. I apologize for that. But chances are I probably bought you a beer too. But that's what I hope they get back to, right? The hard work's happening. The experience now is the next to follow. And it's got to translate to the field. When it translates to the field, now you have these awesome experiences. Not that playing for Nebraska in general for itself isn't great. But now that they equal out. If you're earning your keep, that's what it's about. That's what's cool about it. So, very fortunate to be around us, but props to Schmitty. He got me. I'm very rarely at a loss for words, but that time I had no words. Sat there dumbfounded, and I might have even ummed. I try not to a whole bunch. I know I let a few out, but hey, that's what it is. That's real life. Props to Bubba Starling, former Nebraska football recruit. I know something everybody was super fired up about. For him to come in and play quarterback. And hey, you're going to get them sheets. I don't fault you at all. He took that baseball money and he went, bud. And now he's worked his way up. I think it was the number 8th overall pick. Now he's been called up to the 40-man roster. Dade Moore says, hey, this is a celebration of what he's earned. He's coming here to play. He's not coming here to sit on the bench. So props to Bubba Starling. I can't imagine that grind. Hey, if any of former minor league baseball players are listening, would love for you to get a hold of us and love to have the chance to have a conversation of what that life was like. Like, because now we're getting into this, hey, MLB, we got to pay these minor league guys more so they can, you know, work their way up and do their thing. I think all of that should be, especially soccer, should be merit-based. Mm-hmm. I think all soccer money, men's and women's, should go into a big pool. You want the men's soccer team to be good? U.S. men's soccer team?
Yeah, what about it?
Just thinking outside the box.
Uh-huh.
So you take the women's tourney and the men's tourney, and they give you money for each.
Hold on. let's get to this after the break.
You gonna hold this for after the break?
Yeah, let's tease them a little.
We gotta give the rules at one. We're gonna have to do it in between four now and one.
We got another segment
one.
Though.
All right, we'll come back. We'll discuss this. We'll return on Game Time 1620 The Zone.